Challenge Cyber Defense.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber Decryption. It's now.
This intelligence briefing is presented by the Cyber Intelligence Bureau, which is a division of the Orange Cyber Defense Epidemiology Laboratory. Their approach combines OSINT techniques and human evidence, such as investigations of cyber activities, including emotional, intelligence, cognitive, geopolitical analysis of the influences of cyber threats.
Right.
So in plain English, we are basically combining open source digital clues with human behavioral intelligence to figure out a completely new breed of threat actor. Imagine a group that, you know, breaches your most critical infrastructure, gets total control, and then just does absolutely nothing.
Nothing at all.
Right. Like, they don't ask for ransom. They don't steal your data to sell it on the dark web. They just sit in the dark quietly for years, just waiting for the exact moment you are most vulnerable.
Yeah, which is terrifying.
It really is. And today we actually have their blueprint. We've obtained a highly structured manifesto published by a pro-Russian hacktivist group known as Unit 21. And this document, it's our entry point into a literal masterclass on cognitive and psychological warfare.
And we really need to emphasize right away that the very existence of this document is exceptionally rare.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, in the contemporary hacktivist landscape, threat groups usually operate on, you know, chaos, brief bursts of attention, short-term financial extortion. They do not sit down and draft detailed, meticulously structured ideological doctrines.
Right. They aren't writing thesis papers.
Exactly. So this manifesto is a complete structural deviation from what we typically observe. Mm-hmm. It gives us this unprecedented, unvarnished window into the group's internal messaging, their tone, and their implicit long-term objectives.
And our mission for this deep dive, for everyone listening, is to read that blueprint strictly through the lens of psychological and cognitive strategy. We are staying entirely neutral here.
Completely neutral.
We're just looking at the facts and the text they've provided. The whole goal is to understand the incredibly complex psychological models that they are weaponizing against you, the public.
Yeah, that neutrality is fundamental. I mean, we are not here to endorse or condemn the geopolitical context surrounding this group at all. Our purpose is just to dissect the machinery of their strategy, to understand exactly how it functions on a psychological level.
Okay, so if their goal is maximum psychological impact rather than an immediate cash grab, we really have to first understand what actually motivates them. And right out of the gate, they make their allegiance crystal clear.
They really do.
Yeah. They state, and I'm quoting here, we are Unit 21 pro-Russian hackers. We don't hack for money. We don't hack for fame. We hack for Russia.
And that statement right there fundamentally alters the threat profile.
How so?
Well, because most hacktivists you encounter, they're motivated by digital vigilantism, individual notoriety, or, you know, just pure financial gain. They want a tangible payout.
Like Bitcoin or making the front page of a news site.
Exactly. Unit 21 is explicitly rejecting that entire paradigm. Their identity is completely seamlessly fused with state objectives.
Which means traditional deterrents probably just don't work on them. I like to think of it like, if you are dealing with a digital mercenary, they work for a paycheck.
Right.
If the network defenses are too strong or the financial reward just, you know, dries up, the mercenary walks away because the return on investment isn't there anymore. But an ideological soldier operates out of pure demotion.
Yeah, a totally different mindset.
So if their reward isn't financial, it kind of forces us to ask how their reward system actually functions.
Well, the psychological reward system here is entirely internalized. And to understand how powerful that actually is, we really have to look at the Reuven Baran model of emotional intelligence.
Okay.
Specifically, his 1997 EQI framework. So this model evaluates emotional social intelligence. It focuses on how individuals understand themselves and how they relate to others.
Got it.
And two very specific components of this framework are highly relevant to Unit 21. Self-actualization, and social responsibility.
Wait, okay, so usually, I mean, we think of self-actualization as a positive drive, right? Like someone fulfilling their personal potential, maybe mastering a new skill or creating art or something.
Here, yeah.
And social responsibility sounds like, you know, volunteering, being an active, helpful member of your community.
In a conventional pro-social context, yes, yep. Absolutely. But the Baran model is really a framework of cognitive mechanics. It's not a moral compass.
Oh, okay.
So for Unit 21, these concepts have been radically redefined. Their sense of social responsibility is tied exclusively to their perception of duty to their motherland. They view the subversion of adversarial states not as a crime, but as a moral imperative.
Oh, wow. So the act of hacking itself basically becomes their form of self-actualization.
Exactly.
They aren't just writing malicious code to see if they can, you know, break a firewall for fun. They genuinely believe they are fulfilling their ultimate civic purpose.
Right. And when your reward is ideological fulfillment rather than a cryptocurrency transfer, your endurance, your commitment to the mission, it increases exponentially. Cyber subversion literally transforms into an act of patriotic devotion.
Which would make them incredibly resilient.
Very. This psychological framing completely insulates them from burnout. It makes them far more resilient than any financially motivated group could be.
And I think that ideological resilience provides, like, the perfect causal explanation for the next major revelation in the manifesto. Because if their devotion is that absolute, it really explains their capacity for extreme operational discipline.
Oh, the dormancy.
Yeah. The text states that they are, quote, from the darknet. And crucially, that they have been dormant inside darknet forums since 2023. They specifically claim they have spent that time, quote, building, testing, waiting.
Yeah, and the restraint required to remain dormant in those networks for years? I mean, it cannot be overstated.
It totally goes against the very grain of typical hacktivism. I mean, the ecosystem they operate in is usually super fast-paced and incredibly noisy, right?
So noisy.
Threat actors usually want to immediately post their breaches online to claim credit, generate fear, build their reputation. Staying silent for years requires suppressing a massive ego drive.
It really does. This dormancy is a complete masterclass in emotional regulation. If we actually map this behavior onto the Mayer and Salovey 1997 model of emotional intelligence.
Okay, what's that one?
So it's a foundational academic text on how people process emotional information. Mm-hmm. And when we apply it here, we see a highly advanced cognitive capability. One of the core pillars of their model is the ability to regulate one's own emotions to promote intellectual and emotional growth.
Or in this case, to achieve a long-term strategic objective.
Precisely. They are overriding the immediate impulse for digital notoriety.
So it's basically an extreme form of delayed gratification.
Yes, exactly. While the impulsive, noisy hacktivists give in to the immediate dopamine rush of causing, you know, a minor disruption, Unit 21 demonstrates a remarkably high capacity for emotional control. They are actively choosing to meticulously mature their capabilities in the shadows.
Yeah.
Because they understand a fundamental truth of cognitive warfare.
Which is?
That a perfectly timed, highly developed psychological impact is vastly more devastating than constant low-level agitation that a population eventually just, well, gets used to.
Right. They aren't just holding their breath for no reason.
Yeah.
They are calculating the precise atmospheric conditions required for when they finally exhale.
What a great way to put it.
They are preserving their invisibility to ensure maximum efficacy, which means when they do strike, it isn't going to be random at all.
Not at all.
And having established this intense patience, the manifesto actually pivots to their macro-level geopolitical strategy. They view Western actions as a blood business tied to Middle Eastern conflicts.
Right. They position themselves as the moral judges of the international system.
Exactly. But their declared tactic isn't just an isolated attack on one specific nation. They issue this very clear, direct warning to Western governments, specifically calling out the UK, saying, "Your allies are liabilities."
And that specific phrase reveals a really deep understanding of international relations. They aren't viewing target nations as isolated silos.
No.
They are viewing them as an interconnected web of dependencies.
It's kind of like the difference between trying to knock down a building with a bulldozer versus finding a microscopic stress fracture in the foundation.
Yes.
If you find that one friction point, you just apply precise, continuous pressure until the whole structure just splits apart under its own weight. But, I mean, how does a cyber group actually map out these invisible fractures between allied nations?
Well, this requires a highly developed level of what Daniel Goleman explored in his 1995 work on emotional intelligence, specifically the domain of social awareness.
Okay, social awareness.
Yeah, Goleman defines it as the ability to accurately perceive the emotions and power dynamics within a group. And Unit 21 is applying this exact concept, but on a macroeconomic geopolitical scale.
So they're like reading the geopolitical room, searching for the underlying tensions that diplomats usually try so hard to keep hidden.
Exactly. And they are using what is known in psychology as Machiavellian emotional intelligence.
Machiavellian? That sounds bad.
Well, usually emotional intelligence is utilized for empathy,
right?
Understanding someone's feelings to build a better relationship.
Yeah.
Machiavellian emotional intelligence uses those exact same cognitive pathways of understanding, but strictly for exploitation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They actively observe the complex network of Western alliances. They're analyzing diplomatic relationships, economic dependencies, historical grievances.
So rather than launching a brute force attack that might accidentally unite allied nations against a common enemy, they want to weaponize the pre-existing friction.
Exactly. If you want to break a coalition, you attack the seams.
Yeah.
They identify areas where allied nations have subtle disagreements, maybe regarding resource allocation, border logistics, defense funding, things like that.
Right.
By generating digital crises that disproportionately affect one ally over another, or by manipulating data to create the illusion of bad faith between partners, they actively exacerbate those real-world tensions.
Their goal is to create diplomatic distrust so profound that the alliance just naturally fractures from the inside out.
Exactly.
And that macro strategy of dividing nations is terrifying enough on a state level. But the manifesto goes even deeper, because turning allies into liabilities is really just the setup. The ultimate target for Unit 21 isn't the diplomatic treaties or the data or even the server infrastructure.
No.
The ultimate target is the individual human mind.
And this right here represents the total transition from traditional cyber warfare to pure cognitive warfare.
Right.
The technology is merely the delivery mechanism for a psychological payload.
According to the manifesto, they utilize a self-developed multi-vector framework that they call Baron. They claim Baron weaponizes zero-day vulnerabilities, which for you listening are software flaws that network defenders haven't even cataloged yet. But the chilling part isn't the code itself. It's the philosophical doctrine driving it.
Oh, absolutely.
Their central pillar is this exact quote, "Fear is better than death. Fear makes you question your leaders."
And that quote is the operational core of their entire enterprise. It outlines the very specific mechanism of cognitive subversion.
And I really want to unpack the actual mechanics of that subversion for a second. Because on the surface, a cyber attack is just lines of malicious code hitting a remote server. For the average listener, how does a digital attack on a logistics network or a satellite uplink translate directly into a civilian population questioning the legitimacy of their own government?
It all comes down to the evolutionary biology of the human brain. When Unit 21 says, "Fear is better than death," they were outlining a deliberate goal to generate pervasive, inescapable anxiety.
Oh, okay.
We have to look at how humans process sudden, inexplicable disruptions to their survival systems. If critical infrastructure goes dark, if emergency services cannot be reached, or food logistics just freeze, it bypasses rational thought completely and immediately activates the brain's amygdala.
The primitive fear center, basically our internal alarm system.
Yes. And the critical biological reality is that when the amygdala is highly activated by panic or terror, it biologically inhibits the prefrontal cortex.
And that's the logical part.
Right. The prefrontal cortex is the evolutionarily newer part of the brain. It's responsible for logic, rational thought, long-term planning, and social trust. When the amygdala takes over, the prefrontal cortex effectively shuts down.
Because, I mean, if you are being chased by a predator in the wild, you don't need to logically plan your retirement. You just need to run.
Exactly.
So Unit 21 is intentionally trying to trigger a society-wide fight-or-flight response.
Precisely. Okay. Both the Mayer and Sullivy model and Goleman's research discuss this phenomenon. It's commonly referred to as emotional hijacking. Unit 21 wants to use terror to bypass the public's rational thought entirely.
Wow.
If a major societal system fails and the government cannot immediately restore it, that amygdala hijack takes over the collective consciousness.
So the rational understanding of, you know, this is a complex technological issue that engineers are fixing,
it is instantly replaced by the primal, visceral feeling of, my leaders are powerless and they cannot protect me.
They are deliberately engineering situations designed to rupture the social contract between citizens and their institutions. They don't need to deploy physical military force to conquer a nation if they can just make the population lose absolute faith in their own society's ability to function.
The psychological manipulation is profound. I mean, they're using emotion to direct thought, but in a highly malicious, destructive manner. They want the target population to think and make decisions, yes, but only under the heavy, distorting influence of engineered panic.
Because a panicked populace is inherently unstable.
Unstable, distrustful, and highly susceptible to further manipulation or division.
Which naturally brings us to our concluding hypothesis. We've synthesized their intense ideological patience, their strategy of mapping geopolitical friction points, and their biological targeting of the human fear response. So we have to look at what this means for the immediate future. Because Unit 21 makes a very clear, bold assertion in the text.
They do.
They state, quote, "We are inside your logistics networks, your satellite uplinks, your emergency response systems. We chose not to strike. Yet."
Yeah. And based strictly on the textual analysis of this manifesto and the psychological frameworks they're utilizing, we can draw a highly probable and, frankly, highly dangerous hypothesis regarding their threat to European targets, particularly focusing on the UK and other Western allies.
Right, because if they are already dormant inside these systems, the logical next step isn't going to be a quiet data exfiltration. If their blueprint is accurate, what does the execution of this threat actually look like?
The hypothesis is that the impending threat completely bypasses data theft or simple financial extortion. The most probable attack vector will target three specific intersecting sectors simultaneously.
Which ones?
Critical infrastructure, military logistics, and financial backbones.
So they are targeting the invisible pillars that hold up modern daily life.
Yes. The danger is not mere technical disruption. The danger is a coordinated, simultaneous paralysis of these sectors. If emergency response systems fail at the exact moment, financial networks experience critical anomalies, and military logistics are blinded, the effect is multiplicative.
Right.
The goal wouldn't be to permanently destroy those systems, which is technically very difficult anyway, but to create a sudden, profound disruption that lasts just long enough to trigger that cognitive subversion and societal panic we just detailed.
It all goes back to their framework. Baron finds the seam, we pull the thread. They just want to unravel the fabric of daily life enough to let the amygdala hijack take hold on a national scale. And because they have been actively dormant since 2023, meticulously building and testing without seeking attention, we just have to assume their penetration into these networks is deeply embedded and highly sophisticated.
We do. The threat facing Europe is fundamentally transitioning. It is no longer just a technological defense issue. It is a deeply psychological vulnerability. This manifesto proves that the battlefield has fully expanded from the server room to the collective psyche of the population.
Which leaves us with a pretty terrifying question to consider long after this deep dive ends. You know, in the cybersecurity world, when a software vulnerability is discovered, engineers write a patch. When a firewall is breached, you upgrade the hardware. But this manifesto outlines an attack where the ultimate zero-day vulnerability isn't written in code at all. It's written in our biology. It is the human fight-or-flight response. You can patch a server, and you can update a network protocol. But if an adversary is sitting silently in the dark, waiting for the perfect moment to weaponize your own biological capacity for fear, how do you patch the human mind?
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. We'll be talking about it on this channel very soon.
Orange Cyber Defense.